Normal interview. When I talk of the term normal interview, what is the focus on? You're already in a control environment. It is a regular interview whereby questions such as, why should we hire you? So you would probably say that you have a combination of technical skills as well as customer relationship manager. That means customer relationship skills. You have a combination of both. Why do you want to work here? So you focus on the company's values, the development plans, which are what important to you, which are of great importance to you, and which are ideally similar to what you read on the website. A typical job interview has a single candidate meeting with between one or three people representing the employer. The potential supervisor of the employee is usually involved in the interview process. A larger interview panel will often have a specialized human resource worker. While the meeting can be in as little as 15 minutes, job interviews usually last less than 2 hours. The bulk of job interview will entail the interviewers asking the candidate questions about his or her job history, personality, work styles, and other factors relevant to the job. For instance, a common interview question is, what are your strengths and weaknesses? When I say strengths, I can say good management skills. When I say weaknesses, I'm a stickler for punctuality. That means I'm too particular as far as punctuality is concerned. So when we talk of normal interview, the candidate will usually be given a chance to ask any questions at the end of the interview. So for example, what are the challenging situations currently the organization is facing? You definitely can ask. Yes, how effectively you want to put it forward? You can put it forward in an effective manner. These questions are strongly encouraged since they allow the interviewee to acquire more information about the job and the company, but they can also demonstrate the candidate's strong interest in them. When an interviewer asks about the weakness of a candidate, they're acknowledging the fact that she or he is not perfect. So when you talk of weakness of candidate, you're ideally portraying the weakness in a manner whereby it could also be a positive point. Like I just gave you an example in the previous slide that I'm a stickler for punctuality. That means somewhere it is not good if I'm too much of a perfectionist as far as time is concerned. But this kind of an explanation also makes the other person feel that this can be a drawback because you are a taskmaster as far as living up to time or deadlines is concerned. And very often, a lot of people may not be able to express that well in terms of being punctual always. So ideally, when an interviewer asks about the weakness of a candidate, they acknowledge the fact that she's not perfect. However, the interviewer is not really interested in their weaknesses, but how they make up for them. So in this case, you can say that, yes, I do believe that time is of great essence. One should be punctual, but that does not mean that even if an individual is late, say by 5 minutes, that too once in the whole year, I get agitated or angry. I need to realize that at times it may just happen, as long as that habit is not encouraged, where I encourage someone coming in late. It also displays the skill of self-reflection and the pursuit of self-improvement. Yes. The moment I say that, I cannot expect anyone else to be like that and I want the person to change as per me, then it can be a problem. So, candidates for lower paid and lower skilled positions tend to have simpler job interviews than do candidates for senior positions. Of course, that is understood, right? Because the higher the designation, the more of a professional you are in terms of tasks, the more work which you perform will be skill-based. For instance, a lawyer's job interview will be much more demanding than that of a retail cashier. Most job interviews are formal. The larger the firm, the more formal and structured the interview will tend to be. Candidates generally dress lightly better than they would for work, with a formal business wear being appropriate for a white-collar job interview. So the higher the designation, the better it is for you to dress formally. Though we say that basically for an interview, you should be well-dressed. You should be formal. Normal interview. The process. Additionally, some professions have specific types of job interviews. For performing artists, this is an audition in which the emphasis is placed on the performance ability of the candidate. In many companies, assessment days are increasingly being used, particularly for graduate positions, which may include analysis tasks, group activities, presentation exercise, psychometric testing. That means they give you tasks whereby you have to, say, use analytical skills. Say, a complex problem, how will you identify the problem and resolve it? How will you ideally work effectively or make others work effectively in a group? What will you do to see to it that each person in the group is comfortable with the other? And when you talk of psychometric testing, it is ideally to measure the intelligence, aptitude and personality of an individual. The intelligence, aptitude and personality of an individual will help him or her to portray effective skills as far as work is concerned. Presentation. Now, when we talk of presentation, what is most important? Ideally, any presentation is important. Presentation skills are important. How you present yourself, how effective you are while you present yourself, what is most important? So if I'm giving a presentation right now, what is important? Is there clarity in terms of the words I'm saying? Am I giving it effectively? Are you able to understand what I'm speaking on? So presentation could be on financial matters, so the financial industry, somewhere the fashion industry, education, anyone. It has become increasingly common for employers to request job applicants who are successfully shortlisted to deliver one or more presentations at the interview. The purpose of the presentation in this setting may be to either demonstrate candidate skills and abilities in presenting or highlighting the knowledge of a given subject, likely to relate closely to the job role for which they have applied. So, say in the field of marketing, you say you're very convincing. So I say, okay, take this bottled water, convince us to buy this bottled water. Now, ideally, when you talk of bottled water, if you say this water is pure, all the bottled water which we're having, we're assuming that it is appropriate. So you focus on effective points like, say, this is the first time there's going to be bottled water, but not in plastic. So we ideally have decided to have bottled water made of material which can be recycled. Plastic is toxic. Plastic is harmful. So I'm coming up with ways and means to persuade and convince you. It is common for the applicant to be notified of the request for them to deliver a presentation along with the interview. Depends. I feel if you have about 8 years experience, you may not be told. But generally, if you're told, you will carry it with you on a pen drive. So it is better that you're informed. Usually, applicants are only provided with a title for the presentation and a time limit which the presentation should not exceed. But do not be surprised if you're not provided with such notice. So you may not be told. Always be prepared. So presentation. These days, interviewers ask candidates to arrange a presentation for them on a topic of your choice or an item appearing on your CV. It can be anyone. It could be a bright idea to have such presentation ready on your pen drive. The three phases of the normal process. One way to think about the interview process is as three separate related phases. When you talk of the interview process, three phases to it. We will now discuss the three phases. Any interview which takes place, it ideally goes in this manner. Pre-interview phase, which occurs before the interviewer and the candidate meet. Pre, so before. The interview phase, where the interview is conducted. And and the post-interview phase, where the interviewer forms judgments of the candidate's qualifications and makes the final decisions. Although separate, these three phases are interrelated. That is, impressions interviewers form early on may affect how they view the person in a later phase. If your profile is seen on, say, LinkedIn, an impression is already formed. Then ideally, when they meet you, to an extent, they are aware of a lot of aspects about you. Pre-interview phase encompasses information available to the interviewer beforehand. Example, CVs, resumes, test scores, social networking site information, and the perceptions interviewers form about applicants from the information prior to the actual face-to-face interaction between the two individuals. In this phase, interviewers are likely to already have ideas about the characteristics that would make a person ideal or qualified for that position. If you're working for 8-10 years, they ideally have that in mind that you have good experience in terms of work. Interviewers also have information about the applicant, usually in the form of a resume, test scores, or prior contacts with the applicant. When you talk of pre-interview phase, interviewers then often integrate information that they have on an applicant with their ideas about the ideal employee to form a pre-interview evaluation of the candidate. So even before meeting the candidate, an evaluation is formed. In this way, interviewers typically have an impression of you even before the actual face-to-face interview interaction. Nowadays, with recent technological advancements, we must be aware that interviewers have an even large volume of information available on some candidates. For example, interviewers can obtain information from search engines such as Google, Bing, and Yahoo. Blogs. A blog is ideally where anyone can write a blog and others may follow you depending on what they feel you write on the blog. For example, if you talk ideally of problems such as pollution, anyone may agree to what you say and write. And even social networks such as LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. LinkedIn, LinkedIn. Pre-interview phase. While some of this information may be job-related, some of it may not be. Despite the relevance of the information, any information interviewers obtain about the applicant before the interview is likely to influence a pre-interview impression of the candidate. And why is all this important? It is important because what interviewers think about you before they meet you can have an effect on how they might treat you in the interview and what they remember about you. Furthermore, researchers have found that what interviewers think about the applicant before the interview, pre-interview phase, is related to how they evaluate the candidate after the interview, despite how the candidate may have performed during the interview, right? So maybe a lot of evaluation before and a lot of evaluation after. But they say that before meeting you, evaluation does take place. Why is it so? Because before meeting you, all the information which they've received of you through other aspects, something as simple as a test score, that says enough of you. So, pre-interview, you receive the data. Interview, you verify and analyze data. Post-interview, you decide, you take a final call. Now, the second phase is interview. So, one is pre-interview, then you have interview. Three phases of normal process. Initial interview impressions about the applicant before the interview may influence the amount of time an interviewer spends in the interview with the applicant, right? It is said that generally an interview may just go on for 10 minutes, 15 minutes if it's the first round. But very often, if there's an ice-breaking session, if there's a lot of rapport and interaction, it can go on for a longer time. The interviewer's behavior and questioning of the applicant and the interviewer's post-interview evaluations. Pre-interview impressions can affect what the interview notices about the interviewee, recalls from the interview, and how an interviewer interrupts what the applicant says and does in the interview. I guess there's this topic called, you know, a case study, the intrusive manager. The manager keeps interrupting when others are giving very effective ideas. Maybe they say the manager is basically of hyper nature. Maybe they say the manager ideally does not want others to come up with skillful ideas or come up with ideas which are highly effective due to a sense of insecurity. So various reasons. But what needs to be focused on is that when we talk ideally of the person who takes the interview, then the applicant should not feel threatened that the interviewer is interrupting. As interviews are typically conducted face-to-face over the phone or through video conferencing, example Skype, for overseas job, there is social interaction between at least two individuals. Yes, interaction to a great extent takes place, right? Interview phase. So we were discussing the second phase. The behavior of the interviewer during the interview likely leaks information to the interviewee. How you behave as an individual when you're giving the interview is very important. That is, you can sometimes tell during the interview whether the interviewer thinks positively or negatively about you. Knowing this information can affect how the applicant behaves, resulting in self-fulfilling prophecy effect. How will I know if the interviewer is actually thinking positive or negative about me? A lot through his body language, a lot through the eye contact. Is he interested, disinterested? But a lot through the hints or cues, that means given through body language. For example, interviewees who feel the interviewer does not think they're qualified may be more anxious and feel they need to prove they are qualified. So somewhere, if I feel I lack something, then while I'm giving my interview, it'll show in terms of my nonverbal behavior. Such anxiety may hamper how well they actually perform and present themselves during the interview, fulfilling the original thoughts of the interviewer. Interview phase. Alternatively, interviewees who perceive an interviewer believes they are qualified for the job may feel more at ease and comfortable during the exchange. So if I feel I'm fit for this job, I have appropriate qualifications, I have the skills, I have the ability, then I would be more at ease. It should be noted again that because of the dynamic nature of the interview, the interaction between the behavior and thought of both parties is a continuous process whereby information is varied and information is processed and prompts subsequent behavior, thoughts, evaluations. In simple words, information is varying. That means between the two, information constantly goes from one platform to another. We also need to understand that between the two people, information is dynamic. See, when you talk of an interview, any question can come up from anywhere. So it is highly dynamic in nature. So ideally, we talk of the interview phase saying that how I feel will be partially based on my lack of confidence or my self-confidence, and how I feel and react is also partially based on the person who takes my interview. It should be noted again that because of the dynamic nature of the interview, the interaction between the behaviors and thoughts of both parties is a continuous process whereby information is processed and prompts subsequent behavior, thoughts, and evaluations. Post-interview phase. When I talk of post-interview phase, it is after the interview is done. What is the focus on? Okay, so after the interview, the interviewer must form an evaluation of the interviewee's qualification for the position. He or she most likely considers all the information, even from the pre-interview phase, and integrates it to form an evaluation of the applicant. In the final stage of the interview process, the interviewer uses his or her evaluation of the candidate and interview ratings or judgment to make a final decision. So it's like an infancy stage to final stage. Pre-interview phase, the interview phase, and post-interview phase. So you go systematically. Sometimes other selection tools, example work samples, cognitive ability tests, personality tests, are used in combination with the interview to make final hearing decisions. However, interviews remain the most commonly used selection device in India and other countries. Sometimes interviews are conducted in other than just one question answer mode. So now we're going to focus on slightly different aspect when we're talking of interviews. So these different types of interviews allow employers to judge the candidates with more confidence on candidates' mental level. The various types of interviews we discuss now, we want to judge the mental level and thereby reduce the chances of inaccurate decisions. Behavioral interview. It is based or patterned behavioral, okay, experience based or patterned behavioral, your behavior. Interviews are past oriented. They ask respondents to relate what they did in the past jobs or life situation relevant to the particular job and knowledge and skills and abilities required for success. So for example, one situation could be taken that describe a situation in which you were able to persuade successfully or convince someone to see things your way. So behavioral situation. How did you behave? How did you acknowledge the situation? How did you react? What did you do? The idea is that past behavior is the best predictor of future performance in similar situations. By asking questions about how applicants handled situations in the past, employers can gauge how they might perform in future situations. Yes, how you handled a situation in the past is always a learning experience for you. How you handled it then, you've learned from it, and it gives you a better idea how to handle it next time. Say, for example, you're a supervisor and you realize that the people who are unloading as far as the material concerned every day, unloading the cartons every day, they usually take 3 hours as opposed to the 1.5 hour or 2 hours which should be taken. They're feeling slack, tired, as unloading required a great deal of energy. Then he came up with an idea that while they're unloading, can we have some form of music in the background so it is soothing for them and they ideally focus. He was also ready, the supervisor was also ready, that if this idea was not acceptable, he had another idea in mind. So when he spoke to the concerned people at top management, he said unloading is strenuous. These truck workers ideally also need an effective or conducive environment while unloading. So could we have music? The people at top management outrightly refused. But he had a backup. He said, if this is not possible, at least can we provide them lunch? That too, telling them that if they finish the task on time. This served as an incentive for the truck workers. The task which took 3 hours now started taking 2 hours. Why? Because they ideally realized that they will get lunch, a free meal. So this was implemented. Now what are we talking out here? That you had plan A. You wanted to persuade or convince them through plan A, but you were ready that if plan A does not work, plan B is there. So you are gauged through how you handle the situations effectively. Behavioral interview. It is a well-known fact that looking at a candidate's past behavior is the best way to predict the future performance. Hence, interviewers do not waste time, any precious interview time, asking hypothetical questions. Behavioral interview questions will let prospective employers understand in detail how a candidate has acted in a specific situation. First, identify the core behaviors that you would like to demonstrate. A, ability to handle stress, very important. B, adaptability. When I say ability to handle stress, various situations whereby you realize that it is stressful and you have no choice but to handle it. Be adaptability. You're adapting to the particular situation, since you know that'll serve the best in that at that point of time. Analytical skills, problem solving. We've discussed attention to detail, being absolutely responsible for every aspect as far as information is concerned. Client focus, customer orientation, communication very important, being creative, thinking out of the box, decision making, goal setting, initiative. All these ideally are important. Behavioral interview, again, integrity, honesty, right? Interpersonal skills, ability to relate, interact to the other person or people, leadership, planning and organization time, sales, negotiation, teamwork, resilience, right? The ability to handle and go through every aspect as far as a particular situation or problem is concerned. So, behavioral interview. They then select specific questions like, tell me about a recent successful experience in making a speech or a presentation. When have you had to present to a group of people with little or no preparation? What obstacles did you face? How did you handle them? Have you ever had to sell an idea to your co-workers? That means no matter what, you had to get them convinced. How did you do it? Then they select specific questions like, give me an example of a time when you were able to successfully communicate with another person, even when that individual may have not personally liked you. That means you have to focus so much on the information or content that the individual focuses on the content and not on you as a person. What obstacles or difficulties have you ever faced in communicating your ideas to a manager? Tell me about a time in which you had to use your written communication skills in order to get important points across. At times, written communication serves better than verbal communication. So, probably, if ideally you want, say, a higher discount, you've been placing an order with them since the last 7 years. So now you say, since you've completed 7 years, you prefer a higher discount. So how do you put it forward effectively to them? Now we talk of situational interview. We discuss behavioral, now we discuss situational. When we talk of situational interview, questions ask job applicants to imagine a set of circumstances and then indicate how they would respond in the situation. Hence, the questions are future-oriented. One advantage of situational questions is that all interviewees respond to the same hypothetical question rather than describe experiences unique to them from the past. That means it is a situation given to you randomly. They ask you to imagine yourself to be in that situation. When you imagine yourself to be in that situation, if you've by chance been through it, you would relate to your past experience. But ideally, when you talk of situational interview, they expect you to imagine yourself to be in that situation. So for example, when you talk of a situation, let us take, you're managing a work group. You notice that two people ideally in the group are extremely hostile to each other. You realize that this is becoming an issue because work is not going to get done on time and the targets thus will not be achieved because of these two people. How will you resolve this? So here in this case, you will ideally have to be more of a person who will have to be approachable to both the parties. You'll have to be neutral as far as the thought process is concerned. You'll have to be far more skillful in tackling the two because both may be temperamental, both may not be ready to discuss and resolve issues with each other. So various aspects out here. But a lot of the skills you display while discussing this situation will reflect how you are as an individual. Another advantage is that situational questions allow respondents who have had no direct job experience relevant to a particular question to provide a hypothetical response. So in this case, someone who's had no job experience, more situational questions are asked because the person has not been in that situation. Two core aspects of the situational interview are the development of situational dilemmas that employees encounter on the job and a scoring guide to evaluate responses to each dilemma. See, I mean, even if you've had work experience of 5 years, you can get a question whereby they expect you to respond and answer by putting you in a precarious situation. When I say precarious situation, a situation which ideally can be detrimental in terms of your health because it's causing you so much stress, a situation whereby ideally any path you take, it can be a problem. That means whatever the outcome, it will lead to a problem. So when you talk of situational interview, it is ideally more for people who have no direct job experience. Situation questions provide you with a hypothetical situation and ask how you would deal with it. Employers can check your understanding of specific processes as well as your interpersonal or working with others skill. How would you respond to a customer who's not happy with the product? Even though you're aware that the product is the best, you yet need to be far more patient and skillful by understanding the taste preference of the customer, by looking into the needs and wants of the customer, by giving him an example that what he or she expects is not really available, but there is a possible of a substitute. A substitute is more or less the same as the original product, but it is not literally the original product. So that can be explained. What would you do if your co-worker is not pulling their weight? How would you organize a file directory system on your computer network? Ideally, talking of co-workers in your organization, people who ideally, say if you're in a group, your co-worker does not really bother to listen to you or take into consideration your ideas or not really give any sort of leverage to you, though you're a person at top management, say you're a supervisor. If you talk of co-workers, then you could probably be talking of the marketing manager and the finance manager. So two people of equal status. But the marketing manager does not really make attempts to listen to what the finance manager says, thinks and feels.